So it's my pleasure to welcome to the show Jess Klein. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Where are you today?
I'm in Boston, Massachusetts, where I make my home.
We're recording this on the 4th of July, and I guess I should wish you a happy 4th of July.
Thanks.
Do you have a big celebration or anything?
Yeah, barbecues and stuff like that.
But I guess the real reason we're talking to you, you're coming back to Winnipeg to do the Winnipeg Folk Festival.
And yeah.
That all starts this Thursday, I guess. Already,
That's right, yeah. A week from yesterday.
You were here 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
To do the Folk Festival.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed about you, you seem to be having even more fun at the Folk Festival than most of us were, which is kind of neat.
I hope that, I mean, I had a lot of fun. I mean, I hope everyone else is having fun too, but can you still hear me?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, yeah. Actually, I had a great time at the festival, and it felt like people were really there to just enjoy an exchange of music, and I was just really psyched to be part of that and be in front of such a loving crowd.
Well, there always is a lot of great music going on, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing you come back here this year.
Thank
because
you.
I think 2 years ago when you came, not a lot of people really knew who you were, and there certainly were a few people mentioning your name before the weekend was over. I can promise you that.
That's nice.
But so was that your first? I know that was your first time in Winnipeg, right? But
yeah,
have you done much in Canada before that?
I've played a few times at North by Northeast. In Toronto.
But for fans, I mean.
No. I mean, very little. I did one show in Ottawa once.
Uh-huh.
But that was really it. So, and I'd like to play more in Canada, and hopefully I will coming up, but it was really nice to play for a lovely Canadian audience in the middle of Winnipeg, and I'd never been to Winnipeg, and it was all very nice.
Well, just after that, you were supposed to come back to Winnipeg. You had a concert all scheduled and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it got canceled at the last minute.
Yeah, there was a big snafu, but it's actually been rescheduled. For the Monday after the festival.
That's right. That'll be the Folk Festival Meltdown, and what they do is they invite a bunch of the best acts from the weekend to come back to Winnipeg and do a thing at the West End Cultural Center. And,
cool.
And you're going to be there this time. You're gonna be there this time, right?
Yeah.
So.
And my flight doesn't leave till the next day, so I'll definitely be there.
My show is a singer-songwriter show, but, I mean, to me that doesn't mean a whole lot. I play a whole lot of different stuff on this show, but rarely does somebody come along with a CD that pretty much has everything on it, and you're kind of a bit of a stylistic mix yourself.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that before you called me, because I still haven't really figured out how to categorize my music, and I realize it's sort of a cliche to say I don't like to be put in boxes, and even though I don't, but I mean...
Well, nobody does.
Nobody does, but I haven't really come up with a way to describe my music, but it's definitely true that I'm a songwriter, and I do sing, so I guess, I am a singer-songwriter, but I listen to a lot of classic rock and punk and sort of more stripped down acoustic stuff, and sort of leaned on Motown and old jazz and blues and stuff like that. So I guess I'm still finding that all of those influences that I had when I was young are still sort of coming out to me, and that's what moves me. Sort of the older stuff tends to move me the most.
Right. But does that make it harder for you to market yourself or to say, to fans, I am this or I am that? Or does it really matter?
I'm lucky in that I don't really have to be the one marketing myself.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's a challenge for a record label. But I guess... I feel and sort of try and stick to the belief that people just want to see good music, and they want to see someone really, really expressing themselves and not being afraid and just sort of going for it and grabbing it by the reins and not letting go to the end of the performance or the record or what have you. And that's the kind of performance I like to see, no matter what genre it is. And so I'm just sort of holding on to that.
So is that sort of how you approach an album? Just have sort of the best show possible, or it doesn't have to necessarily be altogether one thing, or?
Well, I mean, I think with Draw the Mirror, which was my last record.
Yeah.
That was my last album. And, I mean, I think in that case, we were kind of interested in just showing where I was at, you know, like just where I was at that time. And the idea was just to sort of put each of those songs in the best light. And they were pretty varied in terms of their style. But now I'm working on a new album now, and I'm really interested in sort of, I mean, I guess, again, I'm putting the style questions a little bit aside. But what's most important to me is sort of to get to the raw feeling of what the songs are, what kind of feeling is inside this song, and what kind of character is portraying it. And just, I don't know, I guess it's a little more, I feel that the material I'm doing now is a little more exposed, and that's kind of scary, but it's also really invigorating to share that with people.
Right. It's kind of a goofy question, but what dictates which way a song will go? You say you're listening to try and make the song what it is or whatever, but, you know, how do you know?
I mean, that is a good question. I guess, you know, at some point you just have to choose something, and then if it totally flops, you can scrap it and start over. But usually when I'm writing, I just try and go with my initial idea. As I sort of try and take my initial idea as far as I can go lyrically or melodically, and then at some point maybe it'll feel like it needs some kind of adjustment or tweak or rhythm change or something like that. But it's my feeling that usually the first, you know, first is best kind of thing, at least in terms of the heart, the core of the song, and not to think too much about what genre it's fitting into, or, you know, is this a blues song I'm making or what? Even though those structures are good to have in place, because if you do hit a wall, you can think like, well, what would this person do here? Like, what would Robert Johnson do, or what would you know, Van Morrison do, or what would Lucinda Williams do, or whatever?
Stylistically, you mentioned a whole bunch of people there. I hear a lot of those influences, I think, in your work. Who are some of the main influences that that get you where you are?
Well, definitely those three artists.
Yeah.
And the Stones. I mean, I just their music brings back so much for me, and always love to hear them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob Dylan, and I like Smokey Robinson a lot, and I like Bonnie Raitt's old records, and I like Stevie Nicks a lot, and Tom Petty and Aretha Franklin. I don't know. I guess a lot of things, but those are the people that I listen to when I need a pick me up. When I need to sort of lean on a record, I would pick a record probably by one of those people.
Do you study other people's music in the sense that you know, you try and learn from it and do some of the same things that they're doing, or can you really approach it that way?
I do try, when I'm really blown away by an album, to listen to it enough and at least learn one or two of the songs so I can get inside it and integrate it. If it moves me so much, then I want to know how to integrate it into my own work, because it's so incredible that I want to be able to hold on to a part of it.
So are you constantly listening to new music, trying to learn stuff as well, or?
To be honest, I kind of go in phases.
Yeah.
When I started writing for this record, I didn't listen to anything almost for a few months, because I felt like I had a lot of backlog of ideas that just sort of needed to get out before I could bring anything else in. And that's usually how it is with me when I start a project. Then at some point, I had a lot of raw material, you know, down on the page or down on tape, and it did need some kind of shape and some sort of, you know, history, if you will, to back it up. And so then I started listening to my favorite records again.
Now, I hate to put you on a spot. I want to take a quick break and play a song here. If you could give us a little intro to a song, perhaps tell us something about one of them, and then we'll...
Sure. What do you have there?
Yep.
Okay. I guess you could play Ireland.
I love that song.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
Oh, thanks. I have sort of a long-standing love affair with Ireland, even though at the time I wrote that song, I'd never been there. It always seemed like such a beautiful place, but the song is more about dreaming of a faraway place and hoping if you ever get there, you won't have to be dealing with the same heartache that you're dealing with in the place you're in at the moment.
Right. Well, let's listen to it. This is Ireland from Jess Klein from the album Draw Them Near. You're listening to 101.5 FM.
Rained down by wine, circled round by smoke, your rosy cheeks take on a glow. You think I don't understand, but I understand. Sunny dreams born, leap into the
back. We're speaking with Jess Klein. She's playing the Winnipeg Folk Festival this year again. It's the 30th anniversary of the Winnipeg Folk Festival, Jess. Did you know that?
I did, actually. I received the literature.
It's a pretty exciting year, and there's a lot of great acts coming up here. Have you heard who all's playing here? Is there anybody you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, actually, I'm really excited to see Billy Bragg.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see the Waifs. I did a show with them here in Boston a few months ago, and they were just so great. And their music has such, like, it has such a water-like quality. I don't know how else to explain it, but it makes me feel really good and relaxed. And I'm psyched to see Ani DeFranco and Buffy St. Marie. I'm excited to see her.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I don't know if it's just me or I'm just noticing this, but it seems like there are a lot of really talented, really exciting women playing this year. You mentioned the Waifs and Buffy St. Marie, Kathleen yeah. Edwards, Mary Gaucher. There's a lot of great women singer-songwriters playing this year, and they all seem to be getting, I don't know, more attention than they have in the past. Do you think that's true, or am I just making that up?
I don't know.
Like it seems like women are finally getting a little bit more respect.
I think you're right. I mean, I'd say media trends aside, and even though it's supposedly not the era of the woman songwriter now, and that was sort of an early 90s phenomenon, I think that might have helped to, in terms of audiences, make the idea of a female artist seem less novel and just seem like something that they would listen to, you know, yeah. as less out there or less weird. Or
I don't know how much of it is artificial and we're just making it up here in Canada, but it seems like our friend Kathleen Edwards is getting a lot of attention down in the States.
Yeah, and of course,
Lucinda has a wonderful new record out and stuff like that. Do you think that helps when strong women like that are doing so well? Does it kind of trickle down to a Jess Klein who's probably, you know, not quite at that level yet?
I think that it definitely inspires someone to feel like they could be, you know, touted that way. It's definitely inspiring. I mean, I love Lucinda's new record. And
well, speaking of talented women, you did a tour and an album with a band called Voices on the Verge with three other wonderful female singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love this album. Live in Philadelphia is what it's called. And name the other girls for us. Just
Erin McKeown, Rose Paul and Vani, and Beth Amsall.
And how did that all come together?
It started out because someone just decided to put us on a bill together a few years ago. A few years before we made the album, we were sort of randomly put on a bill in order to draw four times as many people, because at the time no one knew who any of us were. And it was just sort of a serendipitous chemistry. We're all so different, but somehow we really clicked, and we're all mutual fans of each other's work, and we're so excited to sing and play on each other's songs in that setting that it's the sort of spread like fire, and then eventually there was demand for us to make a record, and we did, and then we went all over states and, you know,
right.
played our songs for people. And they were very, they were pretty incredible shows. I mean, I feel like I can say that having been only one quarter of the band, because we really played off each other a lot live, both musically and in terms of how we our rapport amongst each other and just ideas we would have that would, I don't know, we're just four very different, very vibrant individuals, and it really lent itself to, like, a very unique, shell.
So is that sort of just a fun project you did on the side, or is it something you guys will do again semi-regularly, or?
It could happen again, but it's pretty much on the shelf for now.
Right. But did it open a lot of doors for you? Like, did you see a lot of the other girls' fans coming and then getting introduced to you and vice versa?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had toured quite a bit before that.
Yeah.
So to some degree, maybe people were just sort of seeing a new side of me or of any of us. But yeah, I think there was definitely some cross-pollination of I just said that because I'm looking at a flower bush, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. Those two records, anyway, were released on Ryko Disc, which
yeah.
Must be fairly exciting to be signed to them. and to work with them. How has that been for you, being on the major label?
It's great. I mean, I feel really happy to be sort of among other artists that I really admire, and for a lot of artists on Rykodisc and on the Rykodisc catalog that I really love. So it's nice to be thought of in that light, as opposed to just someone's marketing idea, because Ryko has sort of a reputation for being about the music.
Right.
That's good. I like that.
But do you still have to make consolations when you're on a major label? Do you have to do certain things that you wouldn't normally do? And obviously, I mean, obviously it has to be worth it in the end, but is it difficult suddenly doing things, you know, with somebody else as opposed to doing things on your own, more or less?
I'd say it's always hard to bring other people in on your work and on your art, and just accepting the idea that there has to be marketing involved can be difficult. But I mean, I haven't experienced too much of that. I feel lucky, but I don't know what else I have to say about that. But
nice.
I feel like that's gone pretty well.
Well, I only have two of your solo CDs. I have Wishes Well Disguised and then Draw Them Near. And for me, anyways, I noticed quite a bit of growth between the two. And they were only, a couple of years apart, weren't they?
Yeah,
2 years apart. Yeah. Did you yourself notice that there was a big change between those two records? And
I think in the interim between those two records, I really started to look at songwriting as a craft, as opposed to just a channel for my thoughts, or what, you know. It was sort of started to become less about whatever was in my head and more about putting that into a form that was recognizable enough for people to really hold on to it. In doing that, I listened a lot to all those songwriters that I already named. I listened a lot to Lucinda Williams and to Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and people whose songs have that great sort of symmetry, and I felt like I got to a point where I was able to understand how that worked.
So where do you go from here on the next record that you say you started working on? Like, what have you learned from Draw Them Near that will change what you're doing in the future?
Well, I've learned that I don't always want to be singing a very structured song. So I guess I've learned that I want to sort of show my colors more and stretch out more. And I think I went through a phase post Draw Them Near where I felt like I had to be able to fit everything I thought or wanted to say into a song into a very structured and symmetrical and sort of perfect presentation. And more I was starting to feel like that wasn't always possible, and I had some thoughts that were incongruent with other thoughts, or I didn't know how I felt about something.
Right.
And it took me a while to sort of get over that and accept that I'm human, and that not only does everyone feel that way, but a lot of great music comes from that and comes from confusion and not knowing, you know, what you want as a person, or just comes from sort of turmoil and heartache and whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that where I go from here is to just try and express that more and in a way put fewer restrictions on myself in terms of how I put together a song, which is not to say that I'm going to come out with some obscure, you know, thing that no one can follow, because that's not really my style. But I think in order to be more honest and open and raw on a record, I sort of have to give up some of my ideas about what's going to make this perfect, and I have to be a little less of a perfectionist.
Right. Most of that just comes with confidence and experience, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
so just the more, because I mean, you haven't even been playing and writing songs for all that long.
Not too long, no.
You started relatively late in life. You were, what, 20 when you started playing guitar or something?
I was 20, yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. I mean, it sounds like you took to it fairly quickly, though.
Yeah, I think that I suddenly found something that I really loved to do. And then, in fact, you know, 5 years down the road when I was really in the thick of it and seeing what it really takes to be an artist and that it's not always fun and sometimes you're just doing your job, I had sort of a, you know, I suddenly thought, wait, is this what I want? This is really hard. You know, this can be really hard work.
Yeah.
But luckily, I do feel now like I've seen the worst of myself and I've seen the worst of being an artist in a somewhat hostile world for art. And I'm still kicking. I still want to do it, or I want to do it again.
Right. Well, there again, I think with the experience and the confidence and everything, you can more or less do things more your way and have that control.
Yeah.
When you play live, is it usually just by yourself, or do you have a band with you often?
It depends. I'll be playing solo at Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs on the CD are pretty well produced. There's horns and all kinds of things on here. Do you lose something when you do them by yourself, or?
I think some of those songs aren't. Most of those songs came out of a solo performance arena,
uh-huh.
And while I love to play with a band and love being surrounded by great musicians, I'm also not really part of a band. I mean, I'm not part of. It's my name, and it's my. You know, it's sort of me with the guitar, and then you know, add water or whatever. But it's. For the purposes of my songwriting, it's coming from me. You know, it's not like Keith Richards and Mick Jagger or something.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think a lot of my songs even take on more power when I perform them solo because that's sort of where they came from and it's showing their roots.
Is that the name of the game right now, working on new songs? Do you have most of the new songs ready for the new CD or are you still...
I have like 50 songs ready for the new CD. So actually, the name of the game is
whittling down the list.
The name of the game is choosing what will be actually on the record.
Right.
That's a good position to be in, though. So I'm not complaining.
Do you have a timeline? Do you know when we might see a new CD?
Winter 2004.
So it's a little ways away yet.
But yeah.
We'll get to hear some new songs when you come back to Winnipeg.
Absolutely.
Terrific. You're here at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. That's July 10th to the 13th at Birds Hill Park. And then on the 14th, you're doing the Folk Festival Meltdown at the West End Cultural Center here in Winnipeg. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you, Jess. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
I hope to meet you when you're here in Winnipeg next week.
Likewise.
And we hope to talk to you again on the show sometime.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jess. Let's go out with one more. Do you want to lead us into one more song?
Sure. My favorite song on the record is "I Sure Would."
Okay.
And I wrote it in about 5 minutes one morning, and then we weren't going to put it on the record, and my producer heard me fiddling around with it and demanded that we did. So there you have it.
One of those ones, eh?
Yeah.
Well, here it is. Thanks a lot, Jess.
Thank you.
I Sure Would, Jess Klein. 101.5 FM.
Tell you what I'd like to do. Like to put my hands on you. Push you up against a wall. Tell my friends all that I stole. Give you my body and keep my soul. Tell you what I'd like to try. Let you look into my eyes. I stoke the flames and watch them rise. Turn your need to raging fire. Pull you right down on the floor. I sure would, I sure would, I sure would, I sure would. Let's talk easy, let's talk slow. Talk the whole night, do-si-do. Pressure comes and pressure goes. You can never really know. Your hand brushes cry. across your throat.